It's simple math. Tim Hortons 2-3-4 menu fills your mornings without emptying your pockets. $2 gets you a hot coffee or a classic bagel. $3, try a sausage and cheese English muffin or two classic donuts. And for $4, enjoy an egg and cheese croissant or an iced cap. Do the math. It all adds up to delicious deals. Only at Tim's. The Tim's 2-3-4 menu is available until 2 p.m. at select Columbus, Ohio restaurants. Terms apply.
Welcome to the Mile High Huddle podcast with your football priests, Chad Jensen and Zach Kelberman. Remember, Broncos country is not a geographic location. It's a state of being.
Welcome in, everybody. It is the Mile High Huddle podcast. I'm your host, Chad Jensen, and with me is my fellow football priest. You know him, you love him. Zach Kelberman. Zach, we got a little bit of a conference call presser from Sean Payton today. We're going to get into that a little bit. But first things first, I wanted to get your take on the controversy currently swirling in Carolina. And this is news for us because that's the opponent this week, the Carolina Panthers. But it's a controversy. Everyone's scratching their heads, demanding Bryce Young be the quarterback because this team's going nowhere with Andy Dalton. And yet the Panthers announced today, head coach, it's going to remain Andy Dalton. Now, as just a quick background, Bryce Young, the former number one overall pick in the draft, I'll remind everybody, a year ago, started the season out, Zach, as the starter. After week two, they sat him down, went with Andy Dalton, and he's won exactly one game, the only game they've won. So your reaction to the Panthers moving forward, apparently, with Andy Dalton and what that means for the Broncos?
We've been there before. You know, you have the stable vet and you have the unstable young guy who fans want to get the playing time. But the NFL could be so fickle because a few weeks ago, Carolina fans, NFL fans as a whole, were calling for Bryce Young's head, Bryce Young's job. Andy Dalton comes in. There's always that newfound spark with a quarterback change. He wins his first game, but then the wheels fall off like they always do for Andy Dalton, who's going to be 37 in a few days. He threw for 93 yards, no touchdowns, and two picks yesterday. It's a situation where the Broncos, regardless of who's under center, should be able to dominate for another week.
Yeah, there's a lot of hue and cry on behalf of Bryce Young from Panthers fans. And it's not because they love love Bryce Young. It's that this dude's getting us nowhere. And this is our first round number one overall pick. Like, we need to find out what we've gotten him. Broncos fans, at varying points in the preceding 8 years, we can relate to what the Panthers are doing right now. And I have a little suspicion, Zach, that maybe the decision would have been different if it's not the Broncos this week. That defense and what it does, especially to rookie quarterbacks, is not pretty. Taylor, what is good, bro? Jumping in early with a super chat. Thank you, brother. Saying no matter who starting, it's the same situation as last week. Yeah, I mean, even Andy Dalton, you know, he has turned the ball over quite a lot. I'm not sure on his lost fumble, Zach, but six picks. So it's touchdown to interception ratio, seven touchdowns, six picks. And the Papa Bear checking in. Good to see David McElrath in the house tonight, as is his way. Love you, big dog. Look, we're twinners tonight. Says, good evening, Broncos country. Hashtag 10-7 plus. Hashtag let's go, Bozak.
Sam Bam, $20 super. Thank you so much, Sam. As always, evening, Broncos country. Hopefully the Broncos take care of business on Sunday and then need to get ready for two tough games after that. I still fully believe the Broncos will be a playoff team this year. Go Broncos. Sam, I saw something interesting on Reddit yesterday. A guy who's accurately predicted, I think, every single game for the Broncos so far has Denver finishing 10-7 this season. Not out of the realm of possibility. You win this game, you go to 5-3. Baltimore's not unbeatable. Kansas City's not unbeatable. And I'll say it again, if the Broncos play complimentary football, like we've seen a couple times this season, there's no team that they can't beat. So let's take it one game at a time, Sam, but 10-7 is not impossible by any means.
Dude, that defense, it buys you a lot of rope. And that's what you need when you're playing a rookie starter, even one of Bo Nix's age, 24, and relative experience, right? He is technically the most experienced quarterback to ever be drafted into the NFL relative to college football. But he's still a rookie. You still can't in any way, shape, or form manufacture the jump from college football to the NFL. Every rookie quarterback has to go through their lumps. Some do it quicker than others. But as Bo Nix continues to take his lumps, Zach, and navigate the trial and error learning curve, he's got that awesome defense to help bail him out here and there. And a running game, if they can continue to keep that running game that we saw just bust open and come alive in New Orleans with Mike McGlinchey returning, anything, and I mean that, anything is possible. Zeus McPeak checking in again. Always feel fortunate to have Stu in the chat with us, the first face etched on the MHH Super Chat Superstar Mount Rushmore, and he's saying to everybody, hi.
Hey to you, Zeus, and thank you so much as always. And, you know, chat about your point about taking the bumps. In hindsight, it's a good thing that Bo Nix didn't start his season against the Panthers and the Saints of the NFL. He started off against the premier defenses in Seattle, Pittsburgh, the Bucs, the Jets, and they were growing pains, but they were growing nonetheless. So it was good for his development.
Absolutely. Zeus, a mega super chat superstar. And here's another one. Casey Nickel, been with us a lot of years, checking in. What's up, brother? Good to see you tonight. He says, between the Saints and the upcoming Panthers game, this might be huge for the team to build some confidence with easier teams prior to the Ravens. That's definitely a big part of it, is confidence boosters, live bullet repetitions. It is NFL opponents. It is NFL competition. You know, it's that iron, Zach, that sharpens iron, and that should come as a benefit to Bo Nix and this young roster. The caution, right, the word of caution here is, don't get too big for your britches. This is still the NFL, any given Sunday. They're 4-3. It's hard to call anything still where you don't know what to expect from this team on a week-in, week-out basis. Zach, a trap game. Right. But if there is such a thing for a team like this 4-3 Broncos squad, it's this week.
That's exactly what I was going to say. They're not good enough to overlook any team. And that was kind of my concern with the Chargers game, Chad. They were peering ahead to the Saints. They can't just assume Carolina's going to roll over and die. They have to go out there for four quarters and earn that victory.
We also have another legendary mythical Mount Rushmore superstar checking in tonight. We're very fortunate to be blessed by the presence of so many key members of our community. Gary Palmer, good to see you, big dog. He says, good evening, MHH and Broncos country. One game at a time. We have to win the games we should, and things will come. Go Broncos. And that's an excellent point, Gary. You got to win the games you're kind of supposed to win. Now, you know, the Broncos, off the top of my head, Zach, I'm not sure how many, if any, they've been favored in this year. But we know in our gut, and we talk about it on these podcasts, which games we know they're supposed to win, so to speak. Last week was one of them because of how banged up New Orleans was, even on a short week and even coming off a loss. That was a game you had to win, irregardless of the Sean Payton storylines and all that stuff. This is another one of those. If you win the games you're supposed to win, at least moving forward, you get to 5-3, and then you're facing two very stiff opponents. And even if you drop them both, Zach, worst case scenario, you beat Carolina, you lose to Baltimore, you lose to KC, you're still 5-5 in November. You're right, still in the thick of things. Everything is still possible.
I think that's what it really boils down to. There's 17 games in a season. If you want to make the playoffs and sneak in as a wild card, you have to take care of the teams on your schedule you're supposed to beat, to your point, Gary, and also steal a few games you're not supposed to win, similar to what the Broncos did last season against Buffalo, Kansas City, et cetera. So they're right in the thick of things right now. They should have beaten the Saints. They did. They should beat the Panthers. We'll see what happens going forward to that tough stretch with Baltimore and KC.
Listen, it's not going to come as much of a surprise when I tell you that I'm picking the Broncos to beat the Panthers this week. This is one of those games the Broncos should win. But listen, as you're taking a look at week 8, week 9, and beyond, Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. With over 10 million members and billions of dollars in awarded winnings, Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to all. You just pick more or less, basically. It's real easy. You pick more or less on at least two players for a shot to win up to 100 times your cash. Run your game all season long on Prize Picks. Check this out.
Prize Picks is the only real money daily fantasy platform with an injury insurance policy, so your lineups stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. If your player leaves in the first half and doesn't return, don't worry. Prize Picks keeps your lineup live. Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. Join over 10 million users and sign up today. Prize Picks puts its members first, so all withdrawals are fast, safe, and secure. When my picks hit, I can get my money in as quick as 15 minutes. Sign up today and get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It is guaranteed.
I love that. You don't even have to win to receive that $50 bonus. So download the app today. Use code MILEHIGH to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup again. Download the Prize Picks app today and use code MILEHIGH to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Okay, we go back to the chat. We got The Ronk checking in on Facebook, crucial key member of this community, saying, good evening, Chad and Zach, on the Mile High Huddle podcast. Go Bo Broncos. Always great to see you. Hashtag The Ronk in the house with us. Really appreciate you, buddy. Hope you're doing well. Okay, Zach, you had a little story I wanted to get to at some point tonight. I also want to talk about some of the things Sean Payton said today. But first, let's grab Scott, who's going off on stars on Facebook. Really appreciate you, Scott Busby, in the house, saying, hey, guys, here in Queen Creek, Arizona, haven't been here in the stars world for a while. Love listening to you. Go Broncos. Brother, thank you very much. I'm trying to remember where Queen Creek is. Let me have a quick look-see here. If it'll move along for me. Oh, I see. Okay. Really cool. So you're not far from Phoenix. Really cool, buddy. Thanks for checking in. Appreciate the support. See, Broncos country, it's not a geographic location, baby. It is, in fact, a state of being.
Yeah, appreciate you, Scott. If you have a question, please put it in and we'll address it before the pod ends.
We have a lot of friends in that area, in that neck of the woods, so to speak, and a lot of Broncos fans live in the desert. It's really cool. Phil McLaughlin, speaking of the desert, Tucson, just a little farther south. We got Phil jumping in. Love you, big dog. Good evening, Chad, Zach, and Deacon Scott. Hoping to see at least 31 on the Panthers. Hashtag Buckham, MHH for life, Broncos for life. I love that. I think you could feasibly, Zach, expect 31. If the Broncos can get another defensive touchdown, this offense, even against kind of a listing team like the Panthers, I think a really good day for Bo Nix and company is if they can put like two touchdowns and two or three field goals on the board. So that puts you, you know, somewhere in the low to mid 20s, which you hope for and you want to see better. And I think there's reason to believe as the season marches on that can increase, but that's about, so, you know, let's say 24 points, I'm guessing, from the offense. Something like that, maybe 27, and a defensive score, yeah, puts you right in business, Phil.
We were just comparing the Saints and Panthers games, and the Broncos won on the ground against the Saints. It could be the same against the Panthers. They have the NFL's worst run defense, allowing over 162 yards a game. Ajiro Evero out there in Carolina struggling, that injuries are hitting that side of the ball very hard. It could be a repeat scenario where Javonte goes off. It's another smash spot for the running game.
Absolutely. Phil, love you, big dog. Always great to see you in the chat. We really appreciate all that you do for us, my friend. Okay, Zach, a few things I wanted to touch on. This was an interesting topic that I chose to write about today from Sean Payton's remarks. And first thing is, and this kind of goes back to a topic that Michaela Parker, the Duchess, brought up on last night's show, and that is just kind of the tropes that Bo Nix is Tim Tebow 2.0. And he was asked today, Coach Payton, something along the lines of, hey, how do you improve Bo Nix's footwork? You know, how do you coach Bo Nix's footwork? And he said, quote, I think you have to be careful that you're not overcoaching. There are some things he does very well out of the pocket or climbing up in the pocket. I think we start with the focus on timing of the route, the depth of the route in the gun or under center. Is it a 3, 5, or 7 step drop back? We work on the rhythm of the play so that his feet marry up to the depth of the route. The times where he's climbing the pocket or moving in the pocket, we're pretty smart about how much we saw or how much we try to fix, close quote. Zach, to me, I want your take on this. He's like, hey, you can put too much on a guy's plate. You can get him thinking about things that aren't serving you in a game if you overemphasize certain things. It's not to say you don't point it out in a coach, you know, like a film breakdown when you're going over last week's film or whatever. But it sounds like to me, Zach, he's putting more of the onus on when we talk about this offense, the passing offense still being a little out of sync. These are the type of things we're talking about. Are the timing of the routes and the dropbacks married? Like he's saying, once they get those things synced up and locked in, man, that's when things can start opening up.
I think it's funny he's talking about overcoaching Bo Nix when he's dialing in 2-minute long play calls off a Cheesecake Factory menu, but I digress there. I think the simpler takeaway for me, and maybe I'm wrong, is that he's going to just let experience take its course. Bo Nix has to go through all the lumps like we talked about before, and also the chemistry, like you were mentioning there, getting on the same page with all your different receivers. And it's tough because every single week it seems like the Broncos have someone new they're trying to feature, whether it's Sutton, Marvin Mims, Troy Franklin, and Bo has to kind of be fluid about all that. So with time, it'll come.
I like this from Mr. Producer. How do you fix Bo Nix's footwork? Get the receivers to run better routes. And it's true, man. They've been a little too hit and miss in that department, which is why we continually hear Sean Payton throughout this season. And I don't think it's him just trying to make excuses, but saying, hey, we got to paint Zach a better picture around our young quarterback.
I'll say it again, until they get him better weapons, he needs better weapons. And it's true that the separation or lack of that the Broncos receivers normally get is pretty worrying. And it's another situation, Chad, where if you just solely blame Bo Nix when the offense goes on track, you have no idea what you're talking about.
Another aspect of his remarks today, giving some props to Troy Franklin, who I also wrote about this over the weekend, that Troy Franklin, guess what? He's being tapped as a fantasy must-have moving forward by some of the big fantasy sites out there because he has led the team, Zach, in targets over the last couple of weeks, and that's not even counting the game where he dropped the big touchdown possibility, right, against the Raiders. But here's what Payton said, quote, on Franklin, quote, I think there's a confidence in not only what he's doing, but confidence in playing at this level. You certainly see it week to week. He's someone that runs well. He knows how to separate. I think it's part of being a young player, but particularly for him as a receiver, finding that role. He's playing a lot of Z for us, sometimes in the slot, but I think he's progressing pretty quickly, close quote. So a starter like Josh Reynolds goes down, the Z opens up. They try a few different things. So far, Zach, it seems Troy Franklin is making the most hay when he's asked to fill that vacuum.
Anyone who knows me in the MHH Fantasy League knows how down bad I am at receiver, and I would have picked up Troy Franklin if he was available, but Chad, targets mean nothing. Receptions and production does, especially in fantasy, so it's encouraging they're trying to work him in more. Lest we forget, he was a second-round talent the Broncos got in the fourth. Obviously, they have big plans for him, and as the season goes along, I think we'll see more explosive plays.
Speaking of wide receivers, this is a bummer. The Ronk checking in to say the San Francisco 49ers lost wide receiver Brandon Ayuk for the rest of the NFL season after suffering an ACL MCL tear in his right knee. Yeah, that's a huge bummer for the Niners. This is looking like it's shaping up, Zach, to be one of those down years for Kyle Shanahan's Niners. Some bad luck in the injury department, and it's especially poignant, hurts, after all the offseason drama and the extension, all that stuff, it's trade rumors, and now he's not even going to be there to help you this year.
That's why players hold out for guaranteed money for situations exactly like this. So at least he got his. But the Niners are just snake bitten right now. Debo Samuel's in the hospital for pneumonia. McCaffrey has Achilles tendonitis. George Kittle has a foot injury. I think the window is closed out there in San Francisco, Chad.
Phil jumping in to say, it's pretty fun watching the Bucs defense handling the Ravens offense. It gives me hope. Yeah, you know, there's something just slightly, we talk about the Broncos passing attack being out of sync. Something just seems off about the Baltimore Ravens offense this year, Zach. And I don't know, maybe I'm getting too big for my britches, but hopefully that's something that the Broncos can find a way to exploit when their matchup rolls around.
Yeah, and don't forget the Broncos offense took it to the Bucs defense in their matchup. But, you know, there's causation isn't always correlation or whatever. Any given Sunday, like you were talking about earlier, I think the change you're noticing in Baltimore, though, Chad, is Lamar had a dominant running back in the backfield. And Derrick Henry has kind of transformed that offense. They're still putting up a lot of points and a lot of yards, and it's going to be a tough test for that Denver defense.
True. Guys, got to bring your attention to something really, really cool. This episode is also in part brought to you by Manscaped, which is, of course, a longtime friend of this show and the global leader in men's lifestyle and grooming. Every man knows the unbeatable feeling of a fresh barbershop shave like you see on your boy right here. Now, what if I told you that you no longer have to wait weeks or even months between appointments to experience it?
Introducing Manscaped's newest innovation, the Chairman Pro Electric Foil Shaver, the game-changing tool that brings the luxury of a professional shave right into your home. Whether you're after that daily silky smoothie finish or prefer to maintain a rugged 5 o'clock shadow, the Chairman Pro Electric Foil Shaver is your go-to for precision and style every time. Head over to manscaped.com and join the over 11 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by using code HUDDLE for 20% off and free shipping.
Amen to that. The Rock says, I have a Bo Nix 2024 rookie card. That's really cool. Zach, when you were a young warthog, did you collect cards, trading cards?
Yeah, actually, I collected baseball and football cards, and then in my nerdier stages, Chad, I collected Pokemon cards.
Oh, well, yeah, you're of that generation. Yeah. That was just a little bit young for you and I. We're separated by about a half a generation, yeah. And I barely missed that. My brothers were way into that thing, but I collected the heck out of baseball, football, and basketball cards in the 80s. And then I completely, like, I'm a binge purge guy. Like, I'm really into something
until you're not.
It's back to when I'm a little kid, and then I'll burn out on it and move on to something else. And the things that I don't burn out on, those are the things I'll binge, and they just never leave me. And that's something that's with me for life. But trading cards, I binged and then I ended up purging it. And almost completely forgot about this vast collection I had. Till one day, I'm back home, I'm visiting the folks and my brother, and I'm like, I walk into his room and I see this big war chest of dearly collected cards that from yours truly chilling in his room. And I'm like, oh yeah, you can have them. I bequeath the entire collection to him because he was like maybe even into it more than I was.
Yeah, it's a huge market nowadays, too. I mean, a lot of people are collecting. There's websites and forums devoted to it. So it's not that, you know, abnormal, even nowadays.
I like collecting. Phil's saying he lost sound. I hope that's not the case on Facebook. Hopefully that's just a individual problem. Maybe just refresh it or something, my friend, because I think we're good. Yeah, I'm seeing from Roy saying I'm good, Phil. So that's a bummer. Okay. Let me see. Yeah, thanks, Scott. All right, Zach, back to today. Before I get into, I wanted to ask you about your article today. Yeah. I just wanted to also touch on what he said about getting Mike McGlinchey back. We're not big believers in coincidence on this show, and it just so happened that in his return, the Denver Broncos just had the best rushing day of the season so far. And here's what Peyton said about McGlinchey, quote, "From the beginning, I think that was the game that was circled for him to return. It's hard to be exact with that. It's hard to know exactly for sure, but it was the goal date with his initial injury. I'm proud of how he rehabbed. It was a lot of quiet hours before it gets really noisy. And what I mean is a lot of lonely times in the training room where he's working to strengthen the knee. He was able to do that, and it's a credit to him." So, as you guys know, when a player gets put on injured reserve, short-term IR, it's a four-week minimum that they are required to miss per the new NFL rules. But sometimes, Zach, it might be 5 weeks they need. They might need 6 weeks. In this case, they timed it right. Their goal was week seven. Saints, they got him back just in time. Activated him, in fact, if memory serves, day of.
And it wasn't an entirely easy matchup. The Saints front seven is still pretty imposing, and McGlinchey definitely held his own. I was thinking about it earlier. I give a lot of credit to Sean Payton, Zach Strief for all the strife they dealt with along the O-line this year. Different starters, different players playing different positions. You really haven't noticed a drop-off, especially at right tackle, whether it be McGlinchey, about Palcho, or Matt Parrott. I saw earlier Garrett Bowles, five straight games where he's allowed two or fewer pressures and zero sacks. The entire line is playing, I think, above their pay grade, Chad.
This is one of those seasons that if you can continue to actually win, if you can be one of the better teams in the NFL in terms of win-loss, well, and by that I just simply mean, Zach, if you can win more games than you've lost when in the final analysis, this is one of those teams that has a lot of players that are punching above their weight class, and yeah. Garrett Bowles is one of them. This could be finally his year if the Broncos can continue to win and kind of maintain a winner's profile in the NFL at large, that Garrett Bowles breaks the Pro Bowl ice, because I'll remind everybody, he earned second team All-Pro on the heels of his 2020 season, but still no Pro Bowl nods. Leroy, what's up, brother? Good to see you on Facebook. He says, if they can get that run game going, Zach, consistently, they can beat both the Ravens and the Chiefs, which I agree, easier said than done, especially against the Ravens and the Chiefs defense.
If you can get your running game going, like you got it going against New Orleans, you can beat any team in the NFL. And that's not because I cover the Broncos. It's not hyperbole. I truly believe that when you play complementary football and let Bo be the secondary piece, be the auxiliary piece, be the cherry on top, as opposed to the main course of the offense, you can beat a lot of teams. And we'll see this week if it was a flash in the pan for Javonte against New Orleans, or if he could keep it going against a horrible Carolina defense.
Now, Zach, last night we talked quite a lot about some of the new rumors involving Alvin Kamara, and possibly if he's going to be traded, if the Saints make a decision to move some personnel pieces, Broncos are probably going to be the first team they call. Should they? Will they? All that stuff. But part of that calculus, if you're the Broncos, is your read on your current RB1. And Javonte Williams had the best game of his fourth season, 80-some-odd yards. His first touchdown of the season, ended up getting two of them against the Saints. And Sean Payton did a little talking about Pookie, has done anyway, since the Saints game. You had that story, dude, if you want to break it down.
Yeah, basically, I'll paraphrase. On first glance, Sean Payton hadn't looked at the film. This was right after the game, and he goes, he had some really good runs, and you know he was a good runner. I pointed out in my article, Chad, he averaged a season high. I think it was 6.3 yards a carry. He had a long run, a season high long run of 20 yards. He caught all of his receptions, I think 3 for 36 or whatever it was. He didn't fumble. He scored. This was pre-injury Javonte Williams. This was the Javonte that we all thought we were getting going into 2024. And that's why I said earlier, if you can keep that going, your guy averages over 6 yards a carry and he's a bowling ball with butcher knives, you're going to beat most teams in the NFL.
I like this part in your story, Zach, where you said the Broncos piled up 22 first downs, 13 on the ground, and controlled the clock for 33 minutes, 16 seconds in what amounted to a painless victory at the Superdome. That's a huge part of the model in terms of what you're going to strive for if you're Sean Payton and the Broncos each week.
Absolutely. Phil asking us, will we keep Bowles? What will it cost? That's what I was thinking earlier when it comes to Garrett, because like Javonte, he's playing for a new contract. He's financially motivated. I don't know that I would, you know, sink my teeth into a long-term deal, a lot of guaranteed money, upfront money with Garrett Bowles. But if he continues this pace where he's not allowing a sack in five straight games, you have to at least sign him to a short-term extension, 1 or 2 years, kind of a Band-Aid deal, if only for continuity for Bo Nix.
You know, Broncos fans, every American, in fact, the Western world, but especially in the United States, have suffered from inflation over the past few years. And sorry to say, I'm sorry to report, but the offensive tackle value chart has not been immune to that. That position is going to continue to get more and more expensive. And the offensive tackle draft class for 2025 is, to quote Nick Kendall, who knows quite a lot about these things, as you guys know, when it comes to the draft, horrific. So those two things being the case, and by the way, Nick has a great article coming. It'll be dropping tonight on this very subject of Garrett Bowles. What do you do? But this is something I've quietly advocated for basically since before the season started, which is, hey, if he looks okay to start the season, just go ahead and get him extended. Like, find a way to keep him here because, I mean, McGlinchey, let's hope that's the new model moving forward, what we saw from him last week. But, man, that position comes at a premium. Don't look the gift horse in the mouth. He's one of your original first-round picks, Garrett Bowles from 2017. I'd like to see the Broncos do something and during the season keep him here.
The only problem is we talk about Jekyll and Hyde with certain players, but the Broncos in general, you never know which Garrett Bowles you're going to get on any given play. He can either block the lights out of someone or he can allow a holding penalty, unsportsmanlike conduct. He's so volatile, but again, he's performing like a franchise left tackle, and I agree with you. I would like to see at least a short-term extension if he can continue this level of play.
Speaking of money, speaking of the pains of inflation, with big wireless providers, guys, what you see, it's never what you get. Somewhere between the store and that first month's bill, the price that you thought you were paying magically skyrockets. But with Mint Mobile, you'll never have to worry about those gotchas ever again. When Mint Mobile says $15 per month when you purchase a three-month plan, they mean it. So say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, monthly bills, and unexpected overages.
To get this new customer offer and your new three-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/huddle. That's mintmobile.com/huddle. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/huddle. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Indeed. We'll drop the link in the chat. But another one of our great partners, Mint Mobile, bringing it home. All right, guys, we're at about 31 minutes. We're doing pretty good on time. But let's start. If you have any burning topics, get them in the chat right now so we have plenty of time to get to them. Like George jumping in here. What's up, brother? So good to see you. Thank you for the stars, as always, my friend. He says, guys, it's great to have a team that's winning the games we're supposed to and a few that were questionable. Go Broncos. Denver Broncos for life, MHH for life. Hit the thumbs up, guys. That's a great reminder. Thank you for that, George. Hey, right now we have north of 200 people in this room with us live between all the different channels that we are currently streaming to, especially YouTube and Facebook, guys. That like button helps us out so much. Instagram, hit the little heart button. It really does help us out, so drive it up. And by the way, on Instagram, we got Tamillionaire One saying, what's up, MHH? Good to see you. Appreciate you. Okay, let me take a look here in the chat, see where things are at. That was a good observation. And yeah, Zach, we touched on it earlier, but the mark of a quality team and the ultimate quality of this team obviously remains to be seen. Well, we won't know till we're looking back a little bit in hindsight, but one of the marks of a quality team, Zach, is winning those games that you're supposed to win.
The Broncos just don't have a signature victory on their resume yet. You know, last season they had many, or at least several, on their resume. And the Raiders, I think, doesn't really count, Chad. The Jets game doesn't really count. You beat Baltimore, though, that counts. You beat Kansas City again for the second year in a row, that counts. So we said it before, we'll say it again. Take care of business. Don't overlook Carolina. Go out there and play all four quarters. Get ready for a tough stretch of football, two games that you can win if you play your best.
We got Furman in the house on Facebook, wants to know, as we're needing a tight end desperately and knowing the ones coming up at the trade deadline, who's the top tight end you would want for the Broncos and why? Zach, I don't know that there's any like obvious layups. Do you have anybody in mind for a tight end? Because the dream would be someone like Kyle Pitts in Atlanta, but that's not reasonable. It's not feasible. It doesn't appear that he's going anywhere.
I thought David Njoku out there in Cleveland would be feasible, but after Deshaun Watson got hurt and DTR came in, I think he had like 13 targets, something like that, 10 receptions. So I think Cleveland's going to keep him around as a centerpiece of that offense. Maybe Evan Ingram, someone like Hunter Henry, Mark Andrews, you can check in and see if he's available. Anyone, though, Chad, anyone would be an upgrade over what the Broncos have.
Let's see, who was it? Pro Football Focus, I think it was Khalid Al-Sayed, urging the Broncos to be buyers at the trade deadline. And the name he pointed to was a guy behind Njoku in Cleveland, Jordan Akins. So that's a guy that one national writer, Zach, was pounding the table for. And, you know, as far as his bona fides, 32 years old, former third-round pick of the Texans back in 2018, but he's the epitome. He would be anyway, Akins, a Band-Aid option, like a very short-term Band-Aid. I'm not seeing a slam dunk from what players we've kind of heard rumors could be available, Zach. I'm not seeing a slam dunk upgrade out there for the Broncos. It's one of those things where only time can heal that particular wound, probably.
Akins reminds me of an Alberto, a mid-round, unproven, inexperienced guy. I'll amend what I said. Anyone would be better. Anyone that's proven and experienced. So if you're going to go to Cleveland, try for David Njoku. Otherwise, I guess roll with what you have until the end of the season.
Yeah, Scott goes, Mark Andrews just scored a touchdown. Not going anywhere. Yeah, it's probably the truth right there. Let me grab this also from Leroy. Now, this is one of those mercurial topics, the Joker role in a Sean Payton offense. But he says, does Leroy, I really think Jaleel McLaughlin, the running back, has the potential to be Sean Payton's Joker if he can take the hits and be better at picking up the blitzes. That last one is a big part of staying on the field in third down and obvious, you know, passing situations, Zach, being trusted. I'm not sure he'll ever be have the wherewithal to be able to actually pick up blitzes. I mean, unless it's a DB coming in off the edge or something. But what are your thoughts about Jaleel? Not necessarily, I mean, if you have an insight on Joker, but just his role in this offense.
He's more of a Darren Sproles type role, as a pure third down pass catcher, scat back type. You're right. I don't think he's built to take the hits, and however you can use him, just as a unicorn or, you know, an athlete on your offense, doesn't really have one position that can help you catching passes or running the ball.
Ian, we'll get your, if we get time, we'll get Ian's question. But Stream Guy, if we cut Bowles, who could we draft to replace him? So we're not cutting him. He's not getting cut. But if you get to the end of this season and you don't bring him back, you don't re-sign him, he will be a free agent. He's in a contract year. Now, the Broncos have other devices that they could use to keep him around besides extending him, but that's what we're talking about. And what I would tell you, String Guy, is stay tuned for this article from Nick that's going to be dropping this evening. I'll quote him, an impending horrific offensive tackle draft class and positional inflation. Those two things point to a need, an objective for the Broncos to just find a way to keep Garrett Bowles here. And the best way to do that from a team friendly perspective, Zach, is try to get him to sign on the line that is dotted while the games are going on. Usually can get a little bit friendlier terms when it's in season, and that's exactly what they did on his first extension.
I don't know exactly who they can draft to replace him with at this moment, but it would be a step up to draft anyone to replace Garrett Bowles because they haven't drafted a tackle since Garrett Bowles. You can move McGlinchey to left tackle. I wouldn't recommend that. You can maybe move Palcho to left tackle. That might be an experiment if you want to keep McGlinchey at right tackle. But regardless, if you keep Bowles, you get rid of Bowles, you have to have a succession plan for 2025 and beyond.
So think about this. Right now, everyone's going, man, if we could, if things continue to trend the way it's trending, Broncos need to use their first round pick on some wide receiver help or some skill position help at the very least for Bo Nix. Well, if you let Garrett Bowles walk, all of a sudden you got to use that pick on a tackle if you can, in all probability. The names, I'm going to quote a couple here from Nick's imminent article. LSU's Will Campbell, of course, and Texas's Kelvin Banks. They're viewed a little bit like they probably should be guards instead of tackles, but a few names that he says are emerging, let's keep an eye on. Cameron Williams from Texas, West Virginia's Wyatt Millam. There's a few names in here. So stay tuned for that article, and that might answer some of those questions in terms of what the options are in the draft. next year, string guy. But still, I would do what you can to make that a non-issue and get him extended now, because he's a, you know, what is he, 32? But he's a young 32, meaning that I saw a comment, Bowles' body breaking down. I disagree with that. Bowles has actually, with the exception of 2022, done a really, I mean, one of the strengths that he's brought to the table, Zach, is his availability. Yes, you have to be a little bit more concerned with injuries and all that as father time advances on any player, but he didn't start playing tackle football till late into his life, relatively speaking. Only 1 year of Division I college football, then he's in the pros. So that dude does have more tread on his tires, Zach, than the typical 32-year-old offensive tackle in a contract year.
Something we always advocate for. If you think you're going to resign a player, better to get it done sooner rather than later. If Bowles goes on to get that Pro Bowl nod you were talking about, Chad, he's going to be at least a few million dollars more expensive.
Scott jumping in again. Yo, throwing down some of those beautiful stars on Facebook. Thank you, bro. Says, I just get frustrated by fans who think Nix is terrible. He's a rookie. He's growing and doing awesome as a rookie, in my opinion. Timing with receivers is off at times, but to be expected. What do you guys think? Well, Scott, I'm glad that you asked, because I won't go so far as to say I couldn't be happier, but I'm thrilled with what I've seen from Bo Nix. And when I say I can't quite say I couldn't be happier, it's just that I know that he's only scratching the surface. Like, and still the Broncos are at 4-3. You know, if he doesn't turn the ball over, they're winning games, period, end of story. And he's learning on the fly. We talked earlier in tonight's show, Scott, about just some of the little things that the team is working on and what it can do to get that passing offense a little bit more in sync. Scott mentioned, how about receivers get open, right? That'll help with the timing. That'll help with the footwork. The coaches making sure that they're syncing up the routes with the depth of his drops to make sure they can maximize the possibility for him being able to stick to correct footwork. Little things like that. But, Zach, overall, I'm stoked on what we've seen from Bo Nix so far.
I'm way more encouraged than discouraged. I think the fans, and I put that in air quotes, who think Nix is terrible, either have an agenda against him or simply don't know football. He is a rookie. Every point you made here, Scott, I agree with, and what Chad made.
Yeah, guys, make sure you're hitting that like button on YouTube. Let's go. Ian, giving you that call to action. We need you. We need you. It's a small thing. So the whole Alvin Kamara thing, for those of you who weren't with us last night or missed the episode, it's right now, I'll be honest with you, it's not real. Meaning, there are no reports out of New Orleans or any national insiders, Zach, saying, hey, the Saints are quietly shopping Alvin Kamara. I mean, the trade deadline is November 5th. So everything right now is context. It's what do you call that? Circumstantial evidence. And what are the circumstances? Well, the Saints are angling toward a losing season. It's probably going to signal a coaching change. It could re-signal a reset in many ways across the roster, even though Derek Carr is not that old. Wouldn't surprise me if they decided to just kind of blow it up and start over. Mickey Loomis has been there a long ass time. And so for teams like that, Zach, they start shopping their actual assets. And there's no doubt that Kamara, who's still 29, he hasn't hit that dreaded 30 mark, would be one of those assets. And so if he ends up being dangled, we know, Ian, who that first call is going to be.
And whether the Broncos do make that call, I think, will be dependent upon how they play Sunday against Carolina and against Baltimore the following week. If they still need running back help, then could call their old pals in New Orleans.
Thank you, Ronk, for the props. Thank you for contributing to the conversation. The stars. This is great show tonight. Chad and Zach on the Mile High Huddle podcast. Go Bo Broncos. With that, we have a few messages for you before we dip on out of here.
Tremendous episode, as always, of the Mile High Huddle podcast. If you're not doing so, please follow us on Twitter at the MHH Pod. You can follow the main account on Twitter at Mile High Huddle, Chad at Chad and Jensen, myself at Kelberman NFL, and Scott, our producer, at Scout Kennedy. If you guys want some merch like we're rocking each and every single podcast, check out mhhmerch.com. Get you some. If you haven't done so yet, please drop us a like at facebook.com/milehighhuddlepod. You can find us on Instagram at mile_high_huddle. If you haven't done so yet, please, if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, make sure you're leaving your Football Priest a 5-star review for a chance to win some merch each and every single month. But if anything, please, please, please subscribe, like, and share this video and every video you see on the MHH channel. It really helps us grow and reach more Broncos fans just like you.
That's right. A Mile High salute and a special shout out to the great Super Chat superstars and supporters helping us keep the lights on tonight, like the Papa Bear, David McElrath, Taylor Christensen, Sam Bam, legend, Zeus, legend, Casey Nickel, legend, GLP, legend, The Ronk, legend. And by the way, the Papa Bear and Taylor, also legendary figures. Scott, good to see you again tonight, my friend. Phil, legend. George Fox, legend. Love you guys. Thank you so much. Zach and I are off until Thursday, but plenty of content coming down the pike, plenty of Broncos conversations tomorrow night, building the Broncos. You got another Broncos for Breakfast Wednesday morning, Mile High Insiders Wednesday night, and then Zach and I will be back Thursday. So can't wait. We'll do our final preview, our head-to-head comps of Broncos-Panthers Thursday night. Have a great week, everybody.
Have a great start to your week, as Chad said there. Take care, and as always, go Broncos.
Head on over to milehighhuddle.com for all things Broncos. This is the story of the one. As a maintenance specialist for university housing, he knows college students can major in wear and tear. Plus, housing so many students doesn't leave a lot of room to house all the supplies he needs. That's where Grainger comes in. With over a million industrial-grade products and fast, dependable delivery, Grainger carries the quality products he needs so he doesn't have to. From a new door hinge to a whole new faucet. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You've got questions? O'Reilly Auto Parts has answers. Need a pro you can trust? We've got that too. No matter what you need, our professional parts people have the training and expertise to help you do things right. Deep automotive knowledge. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.